With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi everyone, it's Brian King, Millwall goalkeeper from 1967 to 1975. I spent the happiest years of my playing career at the Den, and I'd love to share some of the memories, stories and personalities with you in my new book, The Lion's King. In my time, I've met some amazing characters, including Harry Cripps, Barry Kitchener, Sir Alf Ramsey, as well as the great Gordon Banks, and Lev Yashin himself. My book is packed with laughs, tears, tragedies, and triumphs. So join me in my journey down Coldblow Lane and beyond. The Lion's King, available now for $19.99 at www.littlehellbooks.com. That's www.littlehellbooks.com. Come on, you lions.
You're listening to Achtung Millwall, broadcasting from the beautiful South Birmingham. Accept no substitute.
Well, hello, dear listeners. Welcome to our Sunday morning sermon. It's Achtung Millwall, and I have two dishevelled, and thankfully this is not a video stream, listeners, because you know, we're saving some of it, especially Aaron Paul, for the OnlyFans account. But I have two dishevelled Sunday morning visages looking back at me on Zoom. Big welcome, first of all, to Mr. Aaron Paul. How are you doing, Aaron?
Good morning. Good morning, Nick. Good morning. Yeah, they missed the pre-show show, you know.
Pre-show show.
Which is, it could be deemed as X-rated in some countries.
Quite, you know? Literally, listeners, it's from the bed of Aaron Paul. There we are.
Well, mate, it is Sunday morning. I had a late night working, and you know, I was told we're doing the show at 11 o'clock Sunday morning. By Ryan Loftus, who selected this time, and he turned up late, the fucking bastard.
And here he is, the man himself. Easy like Sunday morning with Mr. Ryan Loftus. How are you doing, Ryan?
I'm very well.
Good to have you on the show, mate.
I can only apologise for my lateness. There was a longer than expected queue at my local artisan coffee house, but I don't go for the coffee. I go for the cakes. So, you know, they've got a grip on me, but, you know, it's a Sunday ritual, and, you know, sometimes it's just hard to get out of bed, but I'm all the better now for having a lovely Millwall chat.
You go for the cakes?
Oh, yeah, I'm not a big fan. I'm not a big coffee drinker. My girlfriend goes for the coffee. I've got a lovely cinnamon donut muffin. It is absolutely divine.
And you had a chance of quite a few cakes yesterday, but it's disappeared.
There was mention on stream. There was mention on stream of the quality of the brownies yesterday. I don't know where they came in from. Are they some new supplier at the Den? The brownies were mentioned by Carl Bates.
Hitting the kiosks. They're going to go lovely with an Angelo Peretti, I think, when fans are allowed back in.
This is not the Millwall I know, listeners, but there we are. Gentlemen, thank you for joining me on this Sunday morning. We speak in the aftermath of a frustrating, for me, 1-1 draw. I wanted to get your respective takes on it, because that felt yesterday, despite three world-class saves by Bart Bielkowski that kept us in the game and possibly won us a point in the end, but it still had that feeling of points thrown away, rather. A mistake to concede the equaliser late in the second half. And then an absolute howler of a miss by one John Daddy Budvarsson. I'm going to start with you, Ryan. What was your takeouts from the game yesterday? How did you find it? You were at the stadium, weren't you, in the press box yesterday?
Yeah, I was there yesterday. It was a really odd one. I think it's an odd game in terms of, like you say, you feel like it is 3 points dropped, but Cardiff will probably feel the same. We both had enough chances to win it, and obviously for a bad, really, really bad finishing from Millwall, yeah, and some really great goalkeeping from Bart, I think both sides could have come away from that feeling like they edged it. But I mean, I think Millwall were maybe a bit better than we're getting credit for. I think the last 10 minutes was a bit manic for both sides anyway, but for the majority of the game, we never really looked like conceding or never really looked like dropping any points. So it's an odd one. I think Millwall are in a really odd position at the moment, just with injuries. I know we'll come on to later, but like where the side is at, because I think where Rowett has got them now, we're getting used to Millwall putting out impressive displays and doing well, but the squad just isn't there yet. And it's frustrating that, you know, we're on the path to it. And I think this summer, you know, with the pandemic and the tight finances, it's really, I think, halted Millwall in their tracks. And I think so far it's looking like it's going to be a bit of not the most exciting season, a bit of a mid-run season. Then hopefully things open up at the end of this one and we can start to build again.
Agree with that, Aaron. Aaron, your fresh prince, your favourite player at the Den, Ben Thompson, features
not
yesterday.
Fresh prince, my sweet prince.
Your sweet prince. Point. Sorry, I couldn't remember
my
in the moment.
Sweet prince, yeah.
Sweet
the
prince
babe.
Featured. Good, great to see him. I thought a very strong performance from Ben. I mean, as Ryan says there, I mean that the squad is just showing its limitations at the moment. Is it a work in progress for
well, I think it is. I mean, firstly, I want to sort of just address the lineup. I was actually quite pleased with the lineup because I thought playing a 4-2-3-1 rather than the five at the back. I mean, if there was a five at the back, I don't know what I would have done yesterday. Yeah. Just like maybe done a crossword or something instead, because I know exactly what I'm expecting there. And to be honest, I expected a five at the back, especially with Kiefer Moore turning up. I really thought that Rowett would try and just sort of like, you know, anchor him in and start from the back and try and do something going forward. He played the 4-2-3-1. You know, we saw Wallace, Thompson and Bennett sort of get their out with Matt Smith up top. Again, defensively looked sound for a while. It was just the rhythm going forward. There was no, it felt kind of put together, like clumped together, like these guys had never played with each other before in some of the passages of play. There was no instinct, there was no natural connection. I mean, I remember watching one pass, I think in the second half, where, you know, they're breaking down the left. And instead of playing a pass right, where there's a player in acres of space, they've opted to keep going down the left and you know, get, I think it was Jed Willis in a foot race with one of their defenders. Yeah. And I'm sat there, I'm like, what the fuck are you thinking? Like, you know, have the foresight to do something else, to switch play, to switch sides. But it just felt, it felt just sort of a bit, you know, clumsily put together. Good to see Ben Thompson in. You know, I always maintain, I think he is a very, very natural number 10. And on his day, he is the best number 10, you know, in the division on his day, day. The problem is he's not on his day regularly enough because of injury and whatnot. And he didn't look 100%. He needs to get up to speed and get up to fitness. And he got bashed about a bit. Marlon Pack and Sean Morrison aren't, you know, the nicest of contenders. They're really good players, really good championship players. They bashed him up a bit. And you know, he's going to have a few bruises this morning, Ben Thompson. But I think one thing, boys, I think that if you look at the subs, especially the Malone for Bennett, this just screams that the squad isn't good enough. There's no depth. If I'm Yuri Skalak and Gary Rowett is bringing on Scott Malone, be it to go to a back five or to go to a, you know, to sit on the wing, and Malone did play in quite an advanced position. If I'm Yuri Skalak, I'd be turning around and looking at myself and going, I'm fucked, I'm finished here. Yeah. If I'm Tom Bradshaw and he's bringing on Bodvarsson, who's played international football in the week, By the way, his international goal return is shambles, and we'll come on to Bob Varson in a minute. If I'm Tom Bradshaw and he's bringing on Bob Varson, I'm sat there going, what the fuck am I doing? Like, what the fuck? Like, literally, yeah. This is terrible. You know, it just, the squad, like, the first 11, great. There's no game changers on the bench. Bar Troy Parrott, and a lot of people are hanging up hopes on him. You know, the problem is, you're going to get a lot of plums on social media who are going to see 20 minutes of Troy Parrott and go, oh, you shit.
Yeah.
He hasn't played a season of football. He's barely played any football. Yeah. You know, it's difficult that we're hanging hopes on him.
I just wanted to pick up on a couple of things Aaron said, because like they're so true. I think the number of occasions, I know you mentioned that one where we could have switched the play on the break, but there were so many, I think three or four, where we had really good opportunities to break. And obviously, other than the one that put Boardvarson through, we just wasted all of them. There was one where Murray Wallace had it and Bennett had made an excellent run. I think it was 1-on-1 or maybe 2-on-2. And Murray Wallace just sliced it and kicked it straight out of play, and we would have been in. There was so many occasions there where, basically, unless the ball is with Ryan Woods to be able to put a ball of that quality through, everyone else seems to just make the wrong choice. And it's such a waste. And like on the starting lineup as well, I completely agree that in the circumstances and the injuries we had, that is probably the best 11 you could put out. And I think it was brave to not go with a back five. Like, you've not just got Kiefer Moore, but you've got Glatzel up there. Like, they're both 6'4", 6'5". I think the game had an average striker height of 6'5". Like, you know what sort of game it's going to be. So a lot of managers would go with a back five there just so that neither of them had anything to win. But it was brave. He trusted Hutchinson and Cooper, who I think both did pretty well. Hutchinson, I thought, was outstanding. They didn't really give more, obviously more scored, but they didn't give them much in the game. And again, with Thompson, it is good to see him back. You can see he's just not fit, like not fully fit anyway. The second half, he really started to come alive. He was a bit anonymous in the first half. He did some good running, but he didn't do much. But the second half, you can see he got his tail up, and it's just a shame he doesn't have that fitness to last it. But I think he's definitely given Rowett something to think about. And I think this sort of formation is something that I think we might see more of with Thompson as the 10 as he starts to get a bit of trust. But like, then you look at the Malone substitution as well. We didn't have Conor Mahoney. Rowett said after the game Conor Mahoney would have started if he was fit. He injured himself right. Like yesterday, there was a video of him put up by Millwall social media of him scoring a good finish. But I think right at the end of training, they were doing corners and he tore his quad as while taking a corner. And apparently it looks like it's going to be quite a bad one. So who knows how long he'll be out for. But yeah, if you look at, you've got Scalak to put on the bench, but he puts a left back on at left wing. And it just speaks of that squad depth generally, but also the injuries that we have they just limit us so much when a game gets late and we need to make some changes. All we can really do is try and hold on to what we've got. We struggle to kick on.
I was just looking at Gary Rowett's programme notes. So taken to ordering the programme, listeners, which I never used to buy when I went to the football, but somehow it gives me a feeling of connection. I don't know, maybe we'll get on the psychiatrist's couch later and explore that. But so anyway, one of the paragraphs that Gary's put in his programme notes is that squad rotation is key. And whilst that invariably means tough calls we need to be made along the way, including chopping and changing starting lineups, shapes and approaches, every decision is done with the best interest of the club. But I think going back to some of the choices made yesterday, boys, I think that they did look a little bit like at times strangers to each other, because that formation, that shape and that particular, you know, selection was, they haven't built the familiarity of a week in, week out, you know, roughly speaking, first choice 11. The season is an odd one. It's stop start. We've had an international break, which Rowett here says came at a welcome time, but it doesn't breed that kind of Saturday to Saturday, you know, same 11 kind of feeling. You get short, sharp bursts of intensive football action, and we've got that looming up now in front of us across December and into the new year. With players that are returning to fitness or hurting themselves left, right and centre. We've had no luck on that front. So squad depth and squad resources, I think, are partly to need to be brought into this. But even so, we're still sitting, what is it, 9th, 10th in the table? We're still not completely out of the game.
But mate, right now the league table means fuck all. I mean, Reading started at 1 o'clock, Reading were 5 points clear at the top. Now they're sixth. You know, the table means nothing right now. There are a few teams in false positions there. You know, I don't expect to see sort of, again, Reading's one of them. I don't expect to see Swansea sort of at the top end and Bristol City maybe, you know, sort of just like smashing it at the top end. And Brentford as well. I don't expect them to see them in 11th. You know, the table will adjust come Christmas properly.
Yeah.
And, you know, Millwall sitting in 9th right now. It's fair enough, but they haven't won a game in 4 games. You know, it's
scored one goal in how many? 4?
Yeah, exactly. One goal in 3. One goal in 4 is not good enough. You know, I don't know. Again, I don't know the situation with budgets and all that, but I can't even say, you know, let's go into January, have a squad clear out, get rid of some of the deadwood, because you get rid of the deadwood and there's no one left.
Yeah.
Like, the squad is tiny. It's very, very small. You know, what is it? 7 of the players yesterday who started are Neil Harris players as well.
Yeah.
So it just shows Gary Rowett has only been able to do so much. You know, it's just, I feel again, until there's a proper winger who's petted servicing, it's not going to happen. Ironically, it wasn't even a winger who supplied Matt Smith the ball for his goal. By the way, the Cardiff defending for that goal was abysmal. It was one of the easiest goals Matt Smith will ever score. I thought, like, you know, the ref's going to blow for offside, because it was as if the back line just stood still. And Smith just headed it in. But a ball in from Sean Williams rather than an actual winger. I think they miss Shane Ferguson. His energy and his work rate is phenomenal on the left-hand side. But getting a winger in and getting some creativity into the team has got to be a priority in January. Or if they're looking for freebies, it's really got to be a priority.
Yeah, I think Millwall are in a really difficult situation. Like you said earlier as well, Nick, about, you know, you have the international break. You imagine sides normally come back a bit more invigorated. Everyone's had a bit of a rest, or, you know, most of the players. But we've actually come off worse. During the international break, we've lost 5 or 6, 7 players to injury.
Yeah.
You know, which are, none of that is helpful. It just hammers the squad that we've already got. It means the same players have to play week in, week out. I think it's a really difficult situation for Millwall. And that the summer, normally, obviously, Gary Rowett came in halfway through last season. That first summer with a new manager is normally such a big one to, you know, spend some time to work on the players, to get them to really know your system, maybe, you know, work on 2 or 3 tactics that you can really nail during that first pre-season, maybe clear out some of the players from the old regime who just aren't up to it, get a few new guys in who you might have trusted or who you had an eye on before. But he just didn't have any of that. There was no pre-season. There was no time to stop. And, you know, Rowett didn't get a chance to work on anything. He didn't have any time to get any players in. Obviously, we signed a few players, but they're very much stopgap players. You know, Ryan Woods and Mason Bennett were signed having ended the season with us, so they're hardly brand new signings. And then other than that, it's, you know, loanies and not much else, no churn, not many players left. And I think this next summer is going to be really huge. Millwall have got almost half of their squad out of contract. They've so many players, 7 or 8 players out of contract. And, you know, some of them are quite old. Some of them aren't very good. So I think like Bradshaw and I think Leonard might both be out of contract. And, you know, they're both £1 million signing players. And Sean Williams, Matt Smith, you know, the numbers kind of just go on and on. And, you know, it might be a bit of a gamble, but you wonder about how many of them will get new contracts and how many of them will get extended. Or are they just going to, you know, have a bit of a clear out and build again? I agree with Aaron that so many of the signings are Neil Harris players, and they're just, you can tell Rowett just doesn't fancy them. Like,
he doesn't
really trust or fancy Bodvarsson and Bradshaw. And I think with great reason, to be honest, every time he's given them a chance, the amount of times Matt Smith has been on the bench because Rowett wants them to deliver, and they just never, ever have. The whole time he's been at the club, they've never managed to deliver. It's just really frustrating.
I mean, the opening goal was a classic Matt Smith goal, wasn't it? It was, you know, it was an okay cross into a dangerous area. And I think it might have been Max on one of the previous iFollow streams that I heard say, you don't have to be the most precise cross of the ball to make Matt Smith into a dangerous play. You just need to get it roughly in the zone, in and around that kind of gap between the penalty spot and the 6-yard area, and he'll do the rest. And that was a great Matt Smith goal, and that's what he'll, you know, thank God for that, because he was struggling otherwise without that. But I do want to mention Bart Bielkowski, because he made, I think it was described as world-class saves on in one of the newspaper reports that I posted earlier on. Might have been the Mirror, Daily Mirror. And I think they were world-class saves. There was one at the end of the first half, which was a header. I think he took it from almost underneath the crossbar and put it over somehow. How he does this, I don't know. He is an amazing goalkeeper, and we are so fortunate that he's in between our sticks, because three times yesterday he saved a goal.
Without question. I think, you know, you do kind of get tired of seeing it. I think Jake Sanders tweeted yesterday, it's kind of worrying the amount of times we have to say Bart has made
man of the match.
Yeah. And, you know, that is a concern, but also, you know, the saves he did, I know he had to make three yesterday, but sometimes, some weeks, he might have to make one. And, you know, although it's not great that you're relying on him, he is there to do it. You know, he is doing a job. There's some people who are of the opinion that goalkeepers should never really get credit for making saves, because that's what they're there to do, regardless of the quality of them. I don't necessarily agree with that, but some people would argue that. But, I mean, the saves yesterday, I said, obviously, before we came on, the one against Harry Wilson, where it's cut back and he gets his foot to it, like, that's not...
Oh, my God.
It's not one of those that it's hit him. He's got his foot out to that to stop it. And that is just... No, like, I don't think any other goalkeeper, maybe one or two goalkeepers in this league, a lot of Premiership goalkeepers, they just don't save that. He's just phenomenal. And it was so... I know, Aaron, both you and me were concerned in the stands when he went down after that first half save that Nick's talking about.
Yeah.
But, like, I said to those around me, I said, you know, this is the way we're going to find out about that knee issue that was holding up the transfer. But he was straight back up and you know, back up to make a couple good saves. But he's just worth his weight in gold. And I think without him, not necessarily the team, because the defence even is phenomenal. I think we've got, I've said it enough times, we've got the best centre-back in the league in Jake Cooper.
Yeah, I agree with that. And Hutchinson, Hutchinson too.
Hutchinson, you know, definitely top five, really. We got the best centre-back pairing in the league and one of the best goalkeepers. And it's no surprise that we don't concede many goals compared to everyone else in the league. That's why.
I agree with the Jake Cooper thing. I mean, yesterday, I think Millwall and Steve Cavanagh probably sat there watching Kiefer Moore going, shit, we missed out. Because the work he put in for his goal... to beat Jake Cooper, obviously that was a mistake from Scott Malone, I understand that, but you know, the work he put in to beat Cooper, and for strength as well, for strength and pace and power and finish, was very, very, very good. It was excellent work.
Yeah.
I was fully expecting Hutch or Hutch to come in and sort of, like, you know, last ditch
clear it,
sort of chuck a leg or something like that, but no, nothing came, and fair play to Kiefer Moore. I think he was the one that got away.
Definitely. He's the sort of you watch him yesterday, and I think watch him against Wigan when he played. He always seems to play quite well against Millwall, but he's a mobile target man. I mean, even Glatzel, who isn't great, I think you saw them both, how they can move. And obviously Matt Smith just doesn't have that. You know, when we play Matt Smith, we lose any energy from the front. And if we were able to actually sign more in the summer, that's the sort of, I think he would, I mean, not to disparage Neil Harrison, Cardiff, but, you know, he's doing quite well there. And obviously he's moved there. You know, he plays for Wales and anything like that. And I imagine they can probably pay him near Premier League wages compared to what we can. But you can definitely tell if we're going to have a target man, he's the sort of target man you want. And definitely agree that he's probably one of the ones who got away.
Much more open second half. It was much more entertaining to watch. And I don't know if that's, you know, the right way to put it or not. I thought the first half we cancelled, both sides cancelled each other out with the goal and then the save from Bart being the standout moments. But the second half was actually an open game, chaps, wasn't it? And, you know, I thought they came close and we came close. And you know, both sides will probably argue they should have, could have won it. And the goal, the equalising goal, really hurt, because I thought we were in control largely, and you know, we 3 points would have been valuable for us. And then that Scott Malone, was it Scott Malone or was it Murray Wallace who gave the ball?
Malone.
To see the, you know, to see that error and then be punished for it, as you just said, is great work by Morph of Cardiff. But it began with a self-inflicted error, and I think someone mentioned somewhere that almost all of the goals we've conceded have come from self-imposed, self-created errors, and that is painful. painful to watch. But then Bart does a miracle save. I've got noted on 83 minutes and another very good save shortly afterwards. But I just want to touch on John Daddy, because we can't really go through the whole show without mentioning that howler of a goal. I mean, I don't know. I wanted to get your views both, but I think Gary Rowett is entitled to expect his international striker, a player that's played in top tournaments, to put that kind of chance away. And the fact that he missed it felt like a closure almost. I can't see where he goes after that. I mean, I think he was lacking confidence already, but God help us now.
I struggle with John Daniel Vassar. I think when he came in, when we obviously first signed him, he looked not promising, but you know, he didn't start too often. He had little cameos off the bench and he never really had a shot, but he put in a bit of effort. He looked like, you know, there might be something about this guy. And since then, he's woeful. He's getting to a few more misses like that, and he'll be on the list with Rob Hulse and Gary Taylor Fletcher and Ricardo Fullers and the like, because he can't hit a barn door. I think this is probably the third one that is a howler of a miss, all in situations where it would have won us the game, not in small situations, not in, you know, consolation goal or equaliser or anything. It's to win the game. The one against Sheffield Wednesday, you know, where he goes to chip the keeper and ends up hitting it closer to the corner flag and things like that. And it's just, I understand being low on confidence. It's a shame. He seems like a really nice guy. You know, the players...
So am I, though, Ryan. I'm a pretty nice bloke, but I wouldn't put myself in the front line for Millwall because I can't door either, you know.
To be fair, you probably have the same goal record as Bradshaw and Bodvarsson coming into this. Zero. You might get one off your ass, you know, if you stand close enough.
I might beat some of them for pace, even at my age, you know.
I mean, you see the chance opening up, and it's an odd one because I think with Millwall, we never get one-on-ones. The way we play, and I think it does speak to the fact that we're not very good at creating chances. We're actually one of the worst teams in the league at it. We never get one-on-ones. The classic goal of a striker running through, like Kiefer Moore's one or like anything like that, and just slotting it past the keeper. We never, ever score goals like that. And for a chance like that to open up, and okay, you know, you can talk about Thompson missing his header, which he probably should have scored as well. Slightly harder chance, but, you know, Parrott leaves the ball perfectly. He's offside. It's a brilliant pass.
Intelligent boy there,
Bodvarsson had no work to do. The pass from Woods was fantastic to land right in his path. He's taken it in, and it's just too many touches. And I don't even think it was too many touches. He seemed in a good place, and just to not hit the target is just, it's shocking.
Thing is, he's under contract till 2022.
Yeah, well, that's a Neil Harris leftover. I'm going to come back to something, and I'm going to run Harry and Michael, and Mike did a few contributions. I'm going to run that now, and we'll come straight back after this short break.
You're listening to After Millwall.
Well, it's very unlike Millwall to give away a lead of what we've seen this season and recently under Rowett's reign. That game should have been finished off. You know, we were playing well, missed a couple of good chances, and then a really sloppy goal to concede. Pushed too many up, and then a ball through the middle of the defenders is really poor. But then how we've not won the game. Bodvarsson, is that man a striker? I'm not being funny, but someone in Sunday League would have put away that chance. One-on-one, this man's an international footballer. You know, he plays for a team in the same group as England. How on earth did he miss that chance? Really, the last 15, 20 minutes, it could have gone either way. So I suppose in the end, you know, Murray Wallace off the line in the last seconds. A draw is, at least it's not a loss, but it doesn't seem positive at all. Frustrating, but good to see Ben Thompson back in the side. I was calling out for that. I thought he was excellent. Perhaps should have scored, but he was brilliant, leading from the front and doing some of Matt Smith's pressing as well. You know, we've proved again, if Smithy gets a service, he'll score, but he's not going to last 90 minutes. Problem is strength in depth, isn't it? I mean, Bodvarsson, bringing him on, he's nearly as bad as Jiří Skalák. That's what we're talking about here. Troy Parrott looked tidy, but, you know, you're only giving him 15 minutes. It's an annoying result. It's a frustrating result. It's just the sort that you would be pissed off about. Again, there for the taking, Cardiff, and we managed to throw it away somehow.
Well, that was unfortunate, but yet so predictable. Millwall were Millwall, weren't they? Matt Smith took his goal well, not really a lot in the first half. The one moment of quality between the two teams let Millwall lead the game. Millwall bossed the start of the second half, were completely in control. Ben Thompson was, for me, man of the match while he was on the pitch. The drive, the clarity, the vision, the winning of cheap free kicks, the darkness, the runs, everything that you don't get off Williams and Woods in midfield, the energy, the movement, and the willing to chase lost causes. He cons referees better than any other player at the club because of his size. You know, he's a must pick. You know, how can you not pick him next week or against Reading on Wednesday? Matt Smith, as I said, took his goal well. But when you take Matt Smith off, and you can only judge managers and the squad by what you do. We were 1-0 up, we were on top, we were creating chances. Ben should have scored and missed an easy chance inside the box. He'd done really well to get to it, but once he's got to it, he's got to score. It's another chance where we swung the ball to the back post with a better cross, we would have scored. Been 2-0 up, game over. Rowett decides to make a change. Yes, Matt Smith's flagging, but I think you don't have to necessarily go target man. For target man, in this particular idea, we've brought Malone on to play on the left-hand side. Just showing again how much strength in depth. Malone's the one that gives the ball away. We've played Parrott, who's not played 4 minutes of time. And then, but, you know, it's ridiculous. You know, he's brought Parrott on, who doesn't look ready, you know, let the ball go under his feet a couple of times, but yet has the intelligence to let the ball go across him when he's clearly offside to be played to Bodvarsson, who, again, for some unknown reason, has been picked and is on the bench. The question is when we let players go in the summer and whatever, is Aidan O'Brien, I know he's not a Millwall player anymore, but would I have rather kept Aidan O'Brien, whose goal-scoring record in League One is better than what Bodvarsson is the Championship, and would have to, is a poacher and would have taken that chance because O'Brien, you know, had a finisher's brain. Bodvarsson, for all his link-up play, which Aidan O'Brien and work rate, which Aidan O'Brien doesn't have. Aidan O'Brien would have been a better player to keep, in my opinion. But that stands with the management, and Gary Rowett, for all of his plus points, gets a very, very, very soft time from the Millwall faithful because of the football that we are playing. I will compare that to a Neil Harris to 1-0 being up and making changes, negative changes, and losing a game. That is a pattern. Now, that's a pattern that's happened under two managers. So, you know, that's a squad issue, not necessarily a management issue. Bart's pulled off two magnificent saves, by the way, to keep it at 2-1. We could have quite easily lost that game if we didn't have Bart in goal or Murray Wallace on the line. So, all in all, you can't be too disappointed with a point, but you are because of bad tactical decisions. The lack of squad depth, you know, has led to that result. And I can't sit here and say that I didn't see it coming as soon as we took Matt Smith and Ben Thompson off, because I did, because we lose bite in the midfield. We've been overrunning the midfield. We've been crying out for Thompson. Thompson has a good game and we have to take him off. Yes, you would have had Lennon in the middle. Ryan Woods, again, is a fucking passenger for me. And, you know, I don't have the ability to sit here and fucking ping a pass of how many times he actually plays a pass forward. The bloke just switches play left and right between centre-backs. Now, if you think that's revolutionary for a defensive midfielder to do that, that's fine. But we had that 2 years ago in Tunnicliffe. I don't understand what people see in him. You know, him and Williams sitting there, you're not going to dominate midfields because they have no mobility to get about the pitch. We are crying out for a central midfielder. Malumbi, anyone. Malumbi, Ben Watson at fucking Nottingham Forest last season, done a better job than what fucking Ryan Woods does, and was available on a free, and he went to Charlton. You know, these are players that could have done a job for this season, and they did squad depth. You've got to look at the recruitment in the summer, because all right, we've gone for Parrott and we've got Parrott and, you know, he's not fit or whatever. You've gone for Sahor and the goals. But we create very, very little. And when we do create chances, we don't take them anyway. So what's the point? Just very frustrating. We're going to be a mid-table side this season, an upper mid-table side, but we don't have enough quality in depth. The five subs will now hurt us. And that is simply that. Also, how fucking annoying was the Welsh commentary in the background? Jesus Christ.
As the Dal Winton of the group, as I'm constantly referred to, and ironically, as I've been flicking through the channels and have stopped on Supermarket Sweep, I will give my feedback. I think Mike is right. That, you know, we've got players, the likes of Bavarsson, who should be finishing. But this is another game where Mill should have took the chances and really, you know, should have won the game again. It's similar to the Matt Smith chance a little while ago. Not the fact or the chance itself, but, you know, the fact that it should be a game that we should win. The chance that they scored to allow them to run through like that and find the back of the net was poor and disappointing. However, you know, we've got to let Jake have one or two. He's had a fantastic season so far. And again, it's just another one of those unfortunate, if you're a defender, if you make a mistake or you get beat, chances are they'll score. But I think it goes back to just our unlucky we've been with strikers. You know, if we would have had fully fit strikers and with some to choose from and healthy competition for each other, would we have taken some of these chances? I think we would have done, as we've said on the pod a few times and has been contributed from other people. It's a good position for Mill to be in. And the fact that we're sort of ninth, eighth, ninth, tenth around that position, looking up and disappointed that, you know, we haven't beat a team who were in the playoff mix last year is a bit of a compliment to us, really. So let's get one back fit and see how we go from there. Come New Line.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're enjoying Acton Mill podcast, then why not help us grow the show and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts? We'd love it. Love it. If you visit the Apple link in the show notes and leave us a rating and a review. Acton Mill is the number one podcast broadcasting from beautiful South Bermondsey. No show sponsors, no Patreon, and no TikTok accounts. Thank you, dear listeners, and as always, arrivederci Mill. So, big thank you to the boys there. I posted on Twitter, chaps, earlier on, and I got a nice question here from a boy called Neil, asking if we will consider questioning Gary Rowett's tactics, decision-making, particularly the substitutions. He also mentions formations and player choices. And it's an interesting question because there was a lot online yesterday about those two substitutions. Obviously, everyone is, you know, keen on Ben doing well. Is it fair to say here we've got a consensus that Ben was probably running short on gas at the time that he was substituted, and that explained why?
100%,
absolutely.
The subs took place.
We've got two games a week. This is going to be one of the busiest periods of the season. We've got two games a week. We've got a game on Wednesday, and if Ben Thompson's playing well, a player who started twice this season, he's barely played. He's played like four games, including the cup games. If he's playing well and the game, because I know you said it was an exciting second half. It wasn't exciting until the 80th minute. There was nothing happening.
It was more open, but I take the point. Yeah,
we were completely in control of the game. Like, you know, Thompson missed his header. We probably should go 2-0. And then it isn't until the 80th minute, which is before Gary Rowett makes any formational changes, before Ben's injury. just or shortly after Ben's injury, you know, it doesn't really change. So I think definitely take Thompson off. He was getting tired. You don't want to risk him getting injured again. And he's probably going to start again on Wednesday. So you're just in a position where you've got to protect your players. And then I think the other substitutions, Malone coming on.
Yeah.
Obviously, like we say, it's another nail in his coffin for Yuri Skalak. I mean, he must have the most nails in a coffin ever. But he's not coming. I mean, that coffin, it's going to be straight back on a flight to Czechoslovakia, I think, come the end of the season. But, you know, the fact that he's got Malone, but Tyler Bury, who Gary Rowett name-checked as one of the young players who could come through, is also injured. So he would have been on the bench. Gary Rowett said that we had every player who was fit on the bench. Obviously, we've got extended subs now. But other than those who are on the bench, you know, with Hayden Muller and James Brown, the only fit player not to be on there is Ryan Sanford, the third choice keeper. So, you know, there's not, I don't know, it's a hard one because I understand people want to criticise Rowett for maybe us not holding it.
But hold, right, okay, I got a question. And this is, I'm not going to disagree with you or anything like that. I actually want to question the question and say, you can question the subs, yes. One, well, he may not have faith in players like Bradshaw and
well, it's there, isn't it? It's there. Matter.
How can you question his formation? Yeah, he plays five at the back, he gets slated. He plays four at the back and goes 4-2-3-1 in more of an attacking style. He gets slated. It didn't work out because of the system. It just didn't work out because there's no quality and the performance was disjointed. I mean, yeah. I don't know if anyone sort of agrees with me or disagrees with me.
I'd agree with that.
You know, I don't think you can sit here and go, he's tactically naive, because with all due respect to the guy, he's evidently not. Playing this back five has sorted Millwall out nicely in terms of the back, you know, the statistically the best defence in Europe and all that, you know, malarkey, which we hung on to, you know, for a few weeks. But now he's looking to change it. And he's played the 4-2-3-1 because he saw them win 2-1, 2-0 against Luton and do it. So, yeah, fuck it, let's give it a go. The problem is, let's be fair as well. Cardiff have got some quality in that squad. Cardiff got some real, real quality in that squad. Yeah. Harry Wilson's not a player to be fucked around with.
No.
Bakuna's played a lot of Premier League football. You look who else in that squad. Marlon Pack is a very, very experienced campaigner. Sean Morrison's a good player. Yeah. You know, Joe Rules, Junior Hoylett's played a lot of Premier League football. Kiefer Moore was one of the most wanted centre-halves. Glatzel's come into the game. They've got some good players. They've got some really, really good players. And arguably, you know, to bring on someone like Shea Ojo, who, you know, like, granted, he isn't, like, amazing, but he can change a game. He's a tricky winger.
He was good at Rangers.
It's just showing everything Millwall miss. It's showing everything Millwall miss.
I think
it's not to do with tactics. It's to do with the squad.
No, definitely. It's definitely come... For me, definitely, I think it comes down to personnel. I completely agree with Aaron about Rowett. He isn't tactically naive. I think it's quite aware the formation like works, and I think that it's a frustration when what I think the problem is, and I think this is why people maybe are starting to question Rowett, which I like I say I completely agree with Aaron. I don't really buy that. I think the frustration is that we haven't really seen growth since he's come in. We obviously are a lot better side. Like we got quite good quite quickly when he came in.
Yeah.
Got very defensively solid. We got, you know, we were nicking wins. We were hard to break down, which we still are. But there's not much else. And I think what that else that is missing was the same problem all through last season, is that we can't create chances and we can't score chances. And it's a twofold part where it's like, you know, you can have a 30 goal a season striker, but if no one can create a chance for him, he's not going to get any goals. So it's not just about having someone to score the goals, but it's definitely about having someone to create them. And at the moment, we don't have either. So when Bodvarsson gets a chance like that, he misses it. But then also when we're on top for the majority of the second half, we don't make it count. So I think the frustration is, and that's why it comes back to me for, you know, the summer being short and not really being able to recruit properly. It's that it's pretty much the same squad we had last season. So it's the exact same strengths and the exact same weaknesses. And that's what's frustrating, I think, is that not much is changing. And because the players haven't changed, and, you know, rather than just constantly still slag off the same players or moan about the exact same problems, I think people are starting to moan about Rowett, which, you know, they're entitled to do. But like Aaron, I don't really buy it.
Well, no, actually, I mean, he's the next target, isn't he?
Well, he's the manager. And also, you know, we've mentioned the small squad. And I remember that being one of, Neil Harris's regular phrases when he was managing, that he likes a small squad, he likes to work with a small group of players, and you build team spirit and all the rest of it with that. I mean, I think sometimes that's making the best of the practical reality that Millwall,
of course,
we don't command the resources that even a Cardiff might do. So, you know, we have to be realistic. Got a couple of replies to my Twitter questions earlier on. I've got Don Dino Leon, a great name, Don Dino Leon. We should have won again. Not enough quality in the finishing, as we've said across the show here, I think, Don. It's fine being the team no one can beat, but a point a game isn't enough, because theoretically you can go for a season with just 46 points and suffer relegation. I mean, I think it's going to be that's not quite that bad, but I do think that we've had no luck with strikers. I mean, Kenneth Zahor looked the part, Ryan, didn't he, when he came?
Oh, 100%. I think Kenneth Zahor would have been quality yesterday, even like maybe not start, well, probably starting, to be honest, probably start ahead of Smith, but. Yeah, like the luck, I mean, it's easy to like bang on about injuries, and you sound terribly like Jose Mourinho, don't you, Aaron, if you do constantly whine about, or is it Jose Mourinho? You do sound a lot like him if you constantly moan about how many injuries you've got. But, well, we have a small squad anyway, and you signed two strikers. Well, you signed one striker in Troy Parrott, who looks like the real deal in pre-season, getting a lot of goals, really good finisher. And you're thinking, hang on, this kid could come in and, okay, he might not set the world alight straight away, but there's definitely potential there, and it's quite an exciting player to have. And then before the season kicks off, he's injured. So you go, all right, let's put our necks on the line here. Let's get a player, Kenneth Zahor, on big money, got Premier League experience, got good championship experience, comes in, looks good off the bench a couple of times, scores a goal, wins us a game, and then gets injured for the majority of his loan spell. It's just no luck. When I think, especially, it's that false hope. It's hope that kills you, isn't it? Where, you know, you get someone else in, you go, finally, we're not really going to have to watch Bradshaw do his little shuttle runs for 90 minutes or Bodvarsson chase shadows and kick balls with the outside of his foot into the stands for 90 minutes. And then 2 weeks later, they're back both starting, or one of them's... And it's just frustrating. And I think... I feel sorry for Albert to an extent, where, you know, a game's 1-0 against Cardiff. We're pretty much in control of it. Players are starting to flag. You know, you've got another game on Wednesday, then you've got another game on Saturday, then another midweek game, and you've got four players out injured, four or five starters out injured. You're starting to sweat. You turn around and John Daddy Bodvarsson's there giving you a big old grin, being like, good luck, come on, Gaffer. And your head just must drop, because you know he's going to have to come on, because no one else has got any energy, and it's just going to be the same result, really.
Big shout out to James Gibbons, who's given the season so far. We're only, what, 12, 13 games in there, are we? He's given it a 7 out of 10 to be lingering around the playoffs. We can't complain with our budget, he says. Very true. Man of the match, Bart, followed by Thompson. Also, Grumpy Grimace. Big shout out to Grumpy Grimace. Bodvarsson's miss is a summary of our season, he says. Not enough chances and not enough goals. Right place, right time. Wrong person. Big thank you to everybody who's replied to my Twitter question. It does give some good conversation points. And one more from Barnsley, man on a match between Bart and Tomo. It wasn't like his miss was a tap in, but Bod has to work the keeper and hit the target at least. And I think that's probably the way we best leave that miss from John Daddy Bodvarsson yesterday. Talking about near misses, chaps, we came quite close with the Achtung Acker yesterday. We nearly had a six-fold accumulator come off there, but Brentford let us down by not beating Wickham. What kind of division is it when you can't back Brentford to beat Wickham?
You chose Brentford.
That was... Was that Ryan? Was it Ryan?
I still don't think I've got one right this season. It is the monkey on my back at the moment. I still don't think I've got one right. But shout out to Alex Grace as well, who was at the game yesterday. And he put an audacious accumulator on for every team in the Championship to have a corner in both halves of their games. And wow. I think the only side in the whole league that let him down were Millwall and Wickham, two of the sides that you would very much back to get corners. So a big shout out there. I wasn't the only one who had a disappointing result in Mayaka.
Shout out to Alex Grace. I was going to throw in an interesting conversation point about Twitch, but having seen Aaron in his bedclothes and a dishevelled looking Ryan, I think I might save Twitch to some other time. And which is a video streaming service for those elderly people like me that wonder what Twitch was. But I'm going to leave that in that case. I'm going to move on. Go on.
No, I was just about to say, with Black Friday on Friday, I'm looking forward to seeing what offers the club shop are going to be doing. Sorry, wrong person. Where's Michael Avery?
He'll be available next week, I think. We'll come back to that.
Well, I hope he's got the Black Friday deals on the club shop ready.
He'll be looking. He's all over that already. So midweek, chaps, Mill versus Reading. The football is fast and furious across December. What do we think? I mean, Reading had started like a blistering pace, like an express train. And then they seem to have come off the rail slightly. Another loss yesterday, I believe. So a game that we probably want to be looking for 3 points. I mean, how many times do we have to say that in this season?
Yeah.
We've got to be looking for a win midweek, Ryan?
Yeah, we definitely need a win anyway, because I think, like you say, about how quickly the games are coming this season, I think it's going to be quite hard to... You don't want to get on a bad run.
No.
And I think it will just... With fatigue and with injuries and everything like that, I think if you start getting on a bad run, it might snowball and just spiral out of control, really. But I think it's going to be really hard one, actually. Because, yeah, Reading started unbelievably well, winning all their games. I think now they've lost three or four in a row. But they're very much an all-out attack team. The new manager they've got has come in from, I'm not sure where, actually, from Serbia, I think. But he's an all-out... They're very much all-out attack. It's largely the same squad, really, that they had last year. A couple of additions, but... You know, they don't have money to spend, but they're happy to spend it anyway, with their wage budget being three times their actual income. But I think it'll be an interesting game, actually, because we're going to be the best defensive side they'll come up against. And obviously it'll be on the road. They've just, from 2-0 up as well, lost 4-2 to Bournemouth. So they'll be feeling sore. Confidence might be low. I think if we can execute a proper Gary Rowett classic counter-attacking display, it has the hallmarks of a nicking a 1-0, but... You know, I don't know if even that will be enough to please people.
Famous last words from Mr. Loftus there, Aaron. I mean, you Reading are a funny old club, aren't they? At the moment, they're up and down. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know where the BBC sending you this week. Will you be up north on the midweek schedule?
I have a feeling I'm at Stoke Norwich on Tuesday.
Right,
I have a feeling. I have a feeling. I'm waiting for confirmation as to where I am on Tuesday. And then the weekend, FA Cup weekend. So
okay.
I'll be doing TV on Sunday and a bit of radio on Saturday. Just waiting to see what's going on. With regards to Reading, though, there's a bit of concern that this is becoming like a full-blown... Like an actual rut, an actual problem for them.
A crisis, right? Yeah,
a crisis,
yeah.
If you like.
Yeah.
They've lost four on the bounce now. You know, where they led the top of the table for a number of weeks, they lost four on the bounce. They've conceded what 2, 5, 8, you know, 10 goals in their past four games. If you look back at they're shipping goals. They're shipping goals for fun. It's a very, very dodgy time for them. I don't know how they sort of built this run of form, but I think they are one of the clubs in a false position.
Okay.
Veljko Pavlović, he's getting a lot of questions asked of him already. Sorry, I'm still a bit tired. He's getting a lot of questions asked of him, Veljko Pavlović. And the fans there, they're quite toxic. That's when they decide to turn up, because let's be fair, it's usually quite a quiet place to go. Really.
Traditionally, yeah.
But you know, a lot of people very, very concerned at what's going on right now, and the manager's lack of game management sort of skills.
Listeners can hear the physical toll that top level media life takes on its stars, and you know, my heart goes it's out to Mr. Mr. Paul.
You're a bastard, mate.
Give me a score prediction for midweek, Ryan Loftus. What's your score prediction, mate?
Oh dear, I'm going to go for that 1-0. I'm going to go for
taking a 1-0.
Yeah, as bad as some of the other performances, but hopefully we nick one and stop the rot before it sets in.
And in bed with Aaron, what are you going to go for midweek?
1-0 straight away. 1-0 What got to be a 1-0 yeah, it's going to be one of them ones. I think they'll keep Reading out. I really think they'll keep Reading out.
I'm going to go for Millwall 2-1 Big thank you to the chaps for taking time out this Sunday morning. Ryan's off now for a vegan burger at his local artisan emporium. Aaron, get some sleep. Yep. Mate. Get some
sleep. I'm going back to bed, mate. I'm going back to bed. It's one of them, son. It's going to be a busy week, so I'm just trying to take the opportunity to get as much kip as possible.
Great stuff. Aaron is on Radio 5 Live. Tune in to his stuff and do follow him on the social media. Media Aaron, but you'll see him on our posts constantly on Twitter. That's it. No Twitch from me, dear listeners. That's the end of our Sunday morning sermon. Thank you for tuning in. And until next week, bye for now.
Thank you for listening to Aston Millwall. If you enjoyed the show, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a cheeky little review. Arrivederci, Millwall. Till next time.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.